Over the last 6 months or so, we've made our way through Luke's Gospel on Sunday mornings. And we've met a number of different men and women and seen how they responded to the Lord Jesus. For many of them, it was their only opportunity. Because as we've seen, particularly in these last few weeks, in the last months of the life of the Lord Jesus, they were all working up towards that great purpose of his life here on earth, his arrest and his crucifixion. Now we know, as we thought on Easter Sunday, that his death was not the end, and that up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. But only a limited number of people saw him after his resurrection. Mary, Peter, the apostles in the upper room, two on the road to Emmaus, just a few down by the lakeside. On one occasion, of which we have no details, more than 500 people saw him at one time. And then James and Paul, and then no more. We always think that we shall have another opportunity to hear the gospel next Sunday, next week, in the mission coming up, 10 weeks coming up. But that certainly wasn't true for many of the people whom the Lord met while he was here on earth. And it may not be true for us. It's no good thinking that we don't have to make a decision now, today. We may not have another opportunity. Certainly wasn't true for some of the people we shall think about this morning. Some years ago, if you can think back that far, when we went through Luke's Gospel with Pastor David, he called his series Dr. Luke's Casebook. Well, we should be turning the pages much more quickly than that this morning. And I think it's more like looking at Dr. Luke's photo album. First person we see is Levi, better known to us perhaps as Matthew. He was a tax collector and he lived in Capernaum. You'll find him in chapter 5, but we should be moving fairly quickly through these chapters. This was the town where Jesus made his home during his ministry there in Galilee. And so I suppose Matthew would have had plenty of time to see the Lord Jesus, hear his teaching, maybe even while he was sitting in his customs office. And then one memorable day, the Lord Jesus walked straight up to him, straight up to his desk, and said to him, "Follow me." Not many people do that to the taxman. But with no more ado, Matthew got up, left everything, and followed the Lord Jesus. But it wasn't a matter of just slipping away quietly. He began by putting on a great banquet for his fellow tax collectors and others. This was to be a no-going-back situation. He made it clear not only to his colleagues and to others, to his friends, but also to the Pharisees. I wonder, over these last months, have you heard the Lord Jesus calling you to follow him? Have you done so? Have you made it clear to those around you, as Matthew did? Tax collectors were not the most popular people in those days. But the Lord knew that he could use Matthew's knowledge and his skills in the future. And so now the first gospel bears his name. The photo on the next day, on the next page, is of a lady with a very shady past. But she also knew what a change the Lord Jesus made in her life. And now nothing, but nothing was too much for her to show her love for the Lord Jesus. She knew she was going to be criticized. She knew she'd be misunderstood. But her grateful love was such that nothing could hold her back. Jesus was being entertained at dinner at the house of Simon the Pharisee. And but for her, it would have been a very cold affair. Simon hadn't properly welcomed his guest. No water to wash his feet. No kiss of welcome. No oil to anoint his head. But what Simon deliberately omitted, this woman made up for. She came in weeping and wet the Lord's feet with her tears, wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured on expensive perfume. Why this difference? The Lord Jesus explained it like this. I tell you, he said, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little, loves little. There was no doubt about her past. You can't live her sort of life in a small town and not be known. But she'd met the Lord Jesus. And she knew that her life had been changed. Her sin had all been forgiven. She was a new woman, and now nothing was too great for her to do to express her love for the Lord. Does her experience speak to someone here this morning? No matter what your past, it can be cleansed and forgiven by the Lord Jesus if you come to him, tell him all about it, determined to live a new life in his power. There's a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. There's a door that is open. And you may go in. At Calvary's cross is where you begin when you come as a sinner. To Jesus. If you do that, you will hear him say, go in peace. Your faith has saved you. Picture on the next page is very different. Almost a studio portrait, I think. A young man, well dressed, young man of good standing in the local community and the local church, well, in the synagogue. Luke tells us that he was a ruler, clearly a respected person. But Luke, who was not there at the time, misses out an important detail which Mark records for us. As no doubt Peter remembered it. This well-dressed young man actually ran up to Jesus. Not the sort of thing you would expect of a well-off city councillor, of a church leader, or a deacon perhaps. And even more, this young man dropped to his knees at Jesus' feet. My, this young man must have been keen. You remember his request. Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? To which Jesus replied, you know the commandments. Oh yes, he knew them all right. He kept them since he was a child. He'd have been all right at the Just 10 mission. But would he? Would we? He thought he'd done pretty well. He hadn't committed adultery. No. But would he have passed the Lord's test? What about that lustful look? Would he have passed? Would we pass? Elsewhere, the commandments are summed up as love to God and love to your neighbour. And when challenged, the young man turned away, because he loved himself most. His great wealth was more important to him than his love for God and for his fellow men. More important than his eternal soul. He'd come up to the Lord Jesus, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and full of hope. But he went away very sad. What about you this morning? Is there something in your life that's keeping you from wholly following the Lord? Your job, your status in the community or among your friends? Is there a friendship getting in the way? Are they an equal yoke with a non-Christian? Is that thing, that person, really more important than knowing the Lord Jesus as your Saviour and your Lord? Money's not everything. And the next person we meet was the one that Margaret read to us about just now. That was something that he found out, that money wasn't everything. This man too was well off. He'd a job that paid well. And so he would have had a pleasant, well-furnished house. But I'm not too sure that it was a home. I've got a feeling that it was rather empty and that he was a lonely man. He would have had very few friends. Something was missing in his life. Could this Jesus have the answer? He'd heard about this teacher, and now he was coming to his hometown, to Jericho. Zacchaeus would go and see for himself. But that was easier said than done. Zacchaeus was only a little man. And the streets were crowded. And because he wasn't a popular man, the crowds wouldn't have let him through. No tax man is very popular. And men like Zacchaeus and Matthew collected taxes for the hated occupying power, the Romans. But Zacchaeus was nothing if not determined, and he ran ahead and climbed a tree to get a good view. These trees, the branches start quite low down, so it wouldn't have been hard for him to clamber up and get a good view. He wanted to see who this Jesus was. I'm sure that what Jesus said to him when he stood and looked up at Zacchaeus in the tree there was the very last thing that he expected. Luke 19 and verse 5. Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. Zacchaeus, make room for me in your house. Make room for me in your life today. I wonder, is the Lord saying that to someone here this morning? Have you known that order's not right at the heart of your life? Is there an emptiness there? As the old hymn puts it, have you any room for Jesus? He who bore your load of sin, swing your heart's door widely open. Gladly bid him enter in. Zacchaeus didn't waste a minute. He came down at once and welcomed Jesus gladly. Without a word from Jesus, Zacchaeus knew that there had to be big changes. And he began to put things right straight away. Look, Lord, he says, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I'll pay back four times the amount. The very presence of Jesus stirred his conscience. And becoming a Christian may well mean that there are things that we need to put right. Things in your past that can and will be forgiven may mean that certain matters have got to be put right. Is there borrowed property that ought to be returned? Relationships put right? Attitudes changed? Is there someone that you're out of fellowship with and this needs putting right? Two very different views were recorded of that, of what took place that day. The people said that Jesus has gone to be the guest of a sinner. How disgraceful. But Jesus said, today, salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. The people looked on men like Zacchaeus as quislings. Jesus saw that now Zacchaeus was a man of faith, like Abraham, a true Israelite. Jesus was carrying out his work of seeking and saving the lost. We've seen how the Lord called two tax collectors. He called Matthew to leave his job and do different work. He became the writer of the gospel and he went round with the Lord Jesus. As far as we know, the Lord left Zacchaeus where he was to do the same job, but to do it better. To set new standards and exert a good influence in his workplace. The Lord doesn't always call us to do different work for him, but he does always want us to live for him where we are and where we work, and set better standards. There are many other people that we could have think about this morning, but I think you may be a bit surprised at the photo on the next page. He's a man in regal garb, surrounded by servants and soldiers. Herod the Tetrarch, petty ruler over Galilee, who at the time of Jesus' arrest and trial was staying up there in Jerusalem. Some years earlier, Herod had been visiting his half-brother Philip, and he'd begun an affair with Philip's wife Herodias, for which he'd been roundly condemned by John the Baptist. And you remember how at a drunken birthday party, he'd been maneuvered into having the prophet executed. When he sobered up, he realized he'd done wrong. And when the Lord Jesus began performing miracles, Herod thought that it must be John the Baptist come back to life. And so he wanted to see this Jesus. And now when Pilate sent Jesus to him for trial, he hoped that he would see some signs and wonders. So it's recorded that Herod plied Jesus with many questions, but Jesus gave him no answer, not a word. Herod had lost his opportunity. He'd refused to listen when God had spoken to him through his prophet John the Baptist. Now, it was too late. Could anything be more solemn than that God had nothing to say to Herod? What a solemn warning to those who treat God and his word in a casual or trivial way. As we've turned the pages of this snapshot album this morning, there's been no one to whom Jesus had no message. The woman was a sinner, yes. Those whom the good citizens rejected, like Zacchaeus. Even the wealthy young man who turned his back on the Lord, each one had heard the call to come. Make sure that you respond to the Lord's call. If you reject that call now, the day will come when it'll be too late. We have one last rather gruesome photo. Double photo. Two men being crucified, receiving the reward of their deeds, making a mockery of the man on the third cross. They didn't have much time left. And then one man realized that even at that late stage, there might still be hope. All that he had seen and heard about this Jesus suddenly came together and made sense. And the man did the only thing open to him. He called out to the Lord Jesus. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. I wonder what he thought the answer might be. He'd left it very nearly too late. There would only have been matter of minutes left. No possibility of reformation. He was totally dependent on the grace of God, and he received it. Jesus answered him, I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise. If he'd had the breath to do so, I'm sure he would have sung with John Newton, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Well, where would your picture fit into this album? Have you already heard and responded to the Master's call? Is there something or someone holding you back so that you've gone away sorrowful? It could be a Christian here this morning turning away from the Lord sorrowful because they're not prepared to put something right. Have you treated God's word trivially so that he's nothing more to say to you? Have you very nearly left it too late? The scripture says that now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. None of us can be certain of tomorrow.